Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has over 120 podcasts containing information about aviation technologies and pilot experiences for general and business aviation, from home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech. Plain Talk provides information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 2,200 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology, telecommunications, and aviation industries. We're here at the AirVenture 2024 with probably one of the coolest men on the planet. I'm just delighted to be able to welcome Sean Tucker into the Plain Talk cockpit. We probably all know Sean as a world-class, outstanding airshow performer, but we're here to talk about something equally, if not more important, Sean's work, which is phenomenal, with the Bob Hoover Academy, really focusing on saving lives. Welcome, Sean.
It's a pleasure to be here. You know, listening to all the airplanes in the background here at EAA. There's not another place I want to be, but right here, a little breeze blowing. It's nice and cool, and all be surrounding yourself with passionate people who love or in love with the magic of flight. So yeah, I'm all in.
It's amazing.
Glad to be here, Phil. Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing.
Very fun place. Very fun place.
So you mentioned you've got, you know, you're obviously exceptionally passionate with aviation, over 33,000 hours, which is phenomenal. Like, I mean, you're my God. That's amazing.
Well, listen, you know, I've dedicated my entire adult life to the art form of aerobatic flight, and it's taken me 33,000 hours to almost getting it figured out. And I haven't yet, so I got some more to go. You know, my use-by date's coming up. I'm 72, just from a health perspective. And so I really cherish every moment now. I mean, I cherish every, and I go to the airport every day. Last month, I'm training clients, and I did 90 training flights.
Wow.
Okay, aerobatic training flights.
Wow.
And I'm tired, but I love it. I just really love the freedom it represents, and you're always searching for excellence in execution. You're always searching for that perfect line, and you never get there, but you get close, and that's what's so fun about it.
And then, and closer at the next flight, and the next
right.
flight,
and then just screw it all up, and you got to start all over again.
You were mentioning when we were chatting earlier about flying being one of the greatest metaphor for life.
Well, it certainly has been for me, and I was fairly lost. I didn't have a great childhood. I ran away from home when I was 13. Ah. Pretty confused, pretty disruptive. And I didn't find my first true joy where I would be sustainable until I took an airplane above the earth.
Wow.
And things changed in my life then. It really changed in my life because you're in control of your life. You have to make the right decisions. And what I found out, if you have joy in your life, you make the right decisions.
So what was that first flight like?
I was with my pop. I only flew once with him, and I was about 14 years old, and we were coming out of, it was early in the morning, about 4:30 in the morning, and he was taking an instrument lesson, and it was foggy, dark. Well, that's my pop saying hi. He's passed away.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah. Sound of freedom, baby. It was foggy, dark, and he goes through the overcast, and it's my first sunrise I've ever seen from the sky. Orange, these colors were magnificent. And then I started believing in God. I'll never forget that moment. I said, wow. This is something special, and it was an incredible feeling. And then you start thinking, well, maybe that's possible for me. And the journey started when I was about 17. And I've been on that journey since at 72. So it's been a lot of years being in love with something so much that it compels me to keep striving for that excellence in execution.
Yeah, and what we do doesn't suffer fools.
That's exactly right. I mean, that is exactly right. Here he comes again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an F-16 for the United States Air Force.
Did you serve?
No, I wish I did. It was during the Vietnam War, and I thought I was going to get drafted, and I didn't, and so I decided to go to school. Yeah.
Well, my
I wish I would have served.
I do like to just honor my Uncle Mort, who served in the RCAF and four conflicts, as he likes to say, Korea, Vietnam, the Cold War, and tongue-in-cheek, one marriage.
Yeah. Well, you know, God bless those guys, those men and women, because they really are, and I really appreciate the sacrifices they gave from, you know, just even if you're not in conflict, away from your family. We need to honor our vets. We need to honor all our service people.
Absolutely. So that first flight turned your life around.
It absolutely did. And that's not to say all right away. It's got to do this with baby steps. Here he comes again. One more burner pass. He's going straight up in the wild blue sky where Marilyn Monroe lives.
She's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, you're showing your age now.
Wow.
It's been a journey, and I'm still learning. I mean, seriously about that. And I've had so many great mentors who've introduced me to living life righteously so you can fly righteously. And when we're talking about the Bob Hoover Academy, it saved my life. It saved my life. It gave me the opportunity to keep working on myself professionally as a pilot, but more importantly, as a human being, okay? I live in a pretty dire community. I love it. It's an agricultural community, 72% Hispanic. They come and work these backbreaking jobs in the Salinas Valley, feeding America. And, well, probably Canada too, because we grow produce, okay? The white guy's not going to do that job. Black guy's not going to do that job. The Asians aren't going to do that job. They're coming across from Mexico and San Salvador to work backbreaking labor to create a future for their family, okay? With that being said, three families to a household.
Wow.
And this is California. It's so expensive to live there. Yeah. I mean, a dump, $650,000.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So three families to a household, barely making it, but that's the start. I call them pioneers, okay? I call them pioneers. They want a better future for their children. Unfortunately, our gangs, the Hispanic gangs, were started in the Salinas area. There's two gangs. There's the Norteños, where Salinas is, and down south there's the Serenos. And in the middle is Soledad Prison, and that's where these gangs started. And we had the highest, equal to Chicago. We're a small community now. When I moved there, it was 32,000. It's 156,000 now. We were equal to Chicago on kid-on-kid shooting. I mean, it's crazy. It's just, they're killing each other. For no other reason, because they're killing each other. It's just stupid. The hate and they had nothing to offer except the gangs are seductive. You know, as you got money and you got guns and doing drugs. And I knew I wanted to pay my community back. I used to own a crop dusting company. I had 14 Hispanic employees. They'd show up and work at 2:30 in the morning always. I never had to fire one. They all took care of it within the family. They're culturally, they really are honorable people. They want to work hard. Never had anything them steal from me. They protected me. They were just so loyal. And I believed in the metaphor of what flight means. And I knew we could take these broken kids and fix them. There's no such thing as pixie dust. This is heavy lifting. You got to treat them like your children, hold them accountable, but you can fix them. And now we're 12, 14 years into this program, and we're winning. We have college graduates. I have well-paying jobs. We're teaching them to fly, and we're using it not to make pilots, but we are making some pilots. We're using it as a tool to face their fears with baby steps, with an adult an instructor next to them. And when they lift that airplane above that earth, they're free for the first time in their life. Their problems go away. They look down at their neighborhood, and there's nothing. When you're in the barrio, there's no parking because you're three families to household, and everybody's working. Everybody's, there's eight cars for a two parking area. It's tough. But we're winning. We give them a driver's license. We give them a high school education. We feed them because the food, they don't eat enough food. Yeah. Okay, we feed them. We give them a bank account. We give them job training. We partnered with Goodwill, and it's the first job to hold them accountable. They always spend their first three paychecks because they had never had money before in their life. And then we give them a savings account, a high school education.
Amazing.
And we give them hope. And when you have hope, you get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with this announcement yesterday, which this magnificent industry has done, three very successful people made a commitment of donating us a Carbon EX2 Cub to build. It costs $160,000. We're going to sell it for $300,000. It takes 1,000 hours to build it. Now we're starting our career technical education. I can take a kid from a ninth grade. By the time he's in the 12th grade, he'll have a driver's license. He'll have a high school education.
A bank account.
And he'll have pride and self-esteem. Yeah. Now a vocation. He can then go get his A&P.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so lucky. And they have the industry. Carbon Cub's part of it. They're going to get a job interview. Mm-hmm. Okay. Game Composites part of it. They're going to get an internship there for 2 weeks. Cirrus is part of it. I mean, so the industry's taken ownership for this little high school, and it's only a 25 kid high school. Now I can take this, always be working with this heavy lifting, always be working with these kids that are certainly troubled. That's very important to me. But now I can take 20 to 40 kids a year in 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade and give them a skill, who come from loving families and you're just poor, and give them a vocation. My airport in California, which high net worth place, every airport's packed except mine. There's not one airplane on the ramp because The Hispanic community doesn't know it's possible. They don't know that there's in the next 20 years, we need 2.4 million people, aviation professionals, whether it's an air traffic controller, whether it's a pilot, whether it's an airframe and power plant mechanic. I mean, these are well-paying jobs. These are jobs that get you places in your life. These are jobs where you can buy a house. And so I'm excited. I didn't know it was going to be this hard, but.
You're changing culture. Yeah, you're changing.
Right, yeah.
Don't go to the gangs.
Yeah,
of,
yeah.
You know, the peer pressure that a 9-year-old must have to join up and wear a patch and be part of a tribe.
Yeah.
Well, must be, as you said, it's so seductive.
Well, that and dangerous.
And of course.
And it's, we have,
of course.
And this is really significant, and it's scary. The Norteños wear red and they live in Salinas. The Sereños wear blue, okay? Mm-hmm. And they live down south, South County. If a Hispanic kid, 12 to 25 years old, if he comes down wearing his red colors, there's roving assassins. If the Sereños come up and wear their blue colors, there's assassins. It's serious business, okay? And they don't have to go there. There's no easy button in this. It's heavy lifting. You have to treat them like children, like your children. You have to love them that way, and you have to hold them accountable that way. We have a behavioral psychologist. We have alternative education teachers, and you have to be patient.
Wow.
You know, you have to be patient. And when you do that, though, my alumni are just magnificent young men and women who, for the first time in their life, there's their first person in their family that's graduated from high school.
That's
high
amazing.
School. Okay?
Okay.
Now I'm getting them to go to college. Now I have them in the Air Force. I have them in the Marine Corps. I have them in the Navy. I have them in the Army. And I also have them out just being good fathers, good husbands. And so it works. And it all starts with the metaphor of flight.
It does. And why don't you just talk about your first graduate?
This Manny. I think you were at the press conference yesterday.
I was.
We showed a movie of him. His brother is sitting at school, taking a poop, and he gets assassinated. He's in the 11th grade. So his other brother, 3 days later, murders the assassin. He's in prison for life. And his mom brought me Manny, says, I can't lose another one. I only have two left. I can't lose another one. And Manny came with a chip on his shoulder, scared to death, but what a soulful young man. Took to flying, was my first kid that soloed, graduated from high school. He has two kids. He's a magnificent father, a magnificent husband. Didn't continue with flying. He wanted to immediately start a family. He wanted a family. And now he's coming back. He's one of my alumni. He comes back and mentors the kids. In exchange, he gets to keep flying. And he's going to slowly build and have an aviation career. But the first thing he has to do now is have that responsibility to take care of his family. And he's just a deep, loving, caring, wonderful, productive member of society. Yeah. Okay? We're here not to make pilots. We're here to
save lives.
Well, enable these human beings who didn't get a break become the best versions of themselves. And it is saving lives. And it's not, it's saving lives, and it becomes infectious. Because Manny can walk down that street. Once you lose a family member, you're kind of, they honor you. Okay, okay, we took one of yours, so we're not going to bug you anymore. I have another kid, Christian. Hits, this is a really tough story. This kid is just such a sweet young man. His brother got murdered. Gang, he's got brothers in the gang. Christian was just getting into the gangs. His brother got assassinated for doing something wrong. And so he thought that he was a pounding on the door in the night, the same day his brother got murdered. And so he goes out and gets his AR-15 to protect him from the gangs, and it was a SWAT team.
Oh, oh, Jesus.
The whole family would have been massacred.
Yeah.
But they knocked the door down. They sent him away for a year. He's 14. He's 14 years old. They sent him away for a year to Mexico for rehab, and that's a project. And we got to take baby steps with him, and but still hold him accountable. He doesn't want to be in the gangs, and he's the sweetest young man. He's just lovely. But that trauma, that it's still, he goes home to that same environment. And I'm very proud of him, but it's hard for me because I want to take him and have him 24/7, but he's got to live his life, okay? And he's got to make these decisions, and he's making great progress. And some are easier, and now because we're, you know, we're offering free flight training, we're spending $14,000 a kid on flight training alone.
Wow.
And it's from these generous aviation friends. But what's the price? What's the price of somebody's life in the future? Okay, to me, it's, what's the price of putting a person in prison per year? That's $100,000. Okay, and they're not going to jail when they graduate. My alumni aren't going, and sure, we have some knuckleheads that don't make the cut. Okay, they're always welcome back, but we hold them to that level of accountability.
Yeah.
You got to come to school on time. You got to do your work academically. And there's another thing I want to say is AOPA has really stepped up to the plate, and they're STEM curriculum, which is STEM, it's for academic credits, is magnificent. And it's all hands-on, and these kids, it's not lectures, it's all hands-on every single day. And it's, we tested it at summer school this year, and it's working. The teachers love it, and the students love it. So, this, you know, I don't want to put the violin out. This is a beautiful thing we're doing. These are beautiful young men and women who never had a break. Okay, never had a break. Yeah. And we're giving them a break.
Well, that's priceless,
mm-hmm.
don't you think?
Yeah, no, I love it. I love every minute of it. I didn't know it was going to be this hard, though. What? I mean, it's just, it's so emotionally hard, and it's hard on the teachers. We partner with Monterey County Office of Education, and they provide the behavioral psychologist, a teacher's aide, and the actual teacher. And it every single day, you got to have the same rules of engagement, and you can't back off. You know, and so sometimes it gets pretty, sometimes we got to send them home. I'm there when I'm not traveling and working, I'm there every single day for assembly. And then I'm there all day long between training clients and so I can make a living.
Yeah.
And I'm there in the afternoon for a debrief. And it's hard for these instructors too, because it's heavy, heavy lifting.
So Bob Hoover, may, you know, rest his soul. He must be so proud of you.
Well, he probably expects it from me. He did a lot for me. I'm so proud that I can keep a legacy from a man I love very dearly. He was a colleague. He was a mentor. He was a dear friend. really close. He was like a second father to me, but I got to be his equal. Yeah. And I listened to him as he helped me and coached me in my professional airshow career. And I'm so proud that I can continue his legacy on. And the kids, we show the Bob Hoover story, but what's more important than that, they graduated from the Bob Hoover Academy, yeah. Okay? Yeah. And they're making the world a better place. My graduates make a world a better place. And now with this new opportunity, I'm going to be able to take kids who come from loving families who are just poor, intermix them with the kids that had a tough break, and they're all going to rise to the top together because they're just children.
Yeah.
They want to have joy in their life. They're just children.
And they're going to tell their 10 friends who are going to tell their 10 friends. And as you said, you're taking them out of harm's way and completely changing their life.
Well, we're taking our arms and we're encircling them with love and care and respect to give them a chance. And it is beautiful. It is really fun. And truly, there's not a person on this grounds here doesn't get that message and doesn't try. I mean, what I love about EAA, everybody's here because we're such passionate about what flying means. Yeah. We're so passionate about whether it's working on them, whether it's air traffic controlling them, where it's managing them, or where it's flying them. You know, we're one big community and we're here together. And this is my payback and I love every minute of it. And I get my rewards by knowing I have a purpose in life. That purpose fills me up with joy. And so I feel very blessed.
And it's a greater good.
Yeah, I love it.
It really is.
Yeah.
Wow. Any final words for our audience?
Come visit. I mean, I welcome anybody to come and be a student for the day at the Bob Hoover Academy. And if you go to bobhooveracademy.org, you'll see what we're doing.
Well, Sean, thank you so much. Much appreciated you taking some time out of your
very busy day. It's my pleasure, Phil. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast.